I'm a Justin Bieber fan. I'm a fan of Michael Cole, and I'm a fan of The Miz.
Hey, welcome to the Double Drop Kick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And we're doing something
from an undisclosed location.
from parts unknown. Mark Whitman. As you guys know, we normally record on Thursdays, and Mark had Mark was doing some surgery today, and need to be away to do that. But we wanted, because we love doing this podcast so much. We don't necessarily love you all so much, but we just love talking about wrestling together. Correct, Mark?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We like one another.
Yeah, And we're not like all the other wrestling podcasts who gave you their WrestleMania 31 preview Sunday night or Monday. We wanted to let it simmer a little bit. And so we're a week out. We're recording this on Thursday, but you're listening to this on Monday. And we just want to talk about WrestleMania weekend now that we've had some time to let the emotion wear off. We want to talk about what was a great weekend.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, I don't know how much you want to get into this, Mark. While we were watching the Hall of Fame the other night, and also communicating on various Facebook groups.
Right.
So let's talk about the Hall of Fame. WWE will be the first to admit it ran way long.
Yes, it did. It was too long.
It was too long.
They got to do something about that. They got to, I don't know, man, because it was too much.
Right. And I think, as I was thinking about it, there was a couple of speeches where I felt like they got to a good stopping point, and that would have been great. They could have cut it off and been done.
Yeah, I agree.
There's been a lots of times, more than I care to remember, as a preacher, and you get to a good stopping point, but you still got a few more things in your notes, and so you push past a good point to land the plane.
And you start losing folks.
Right. I think, to me, the way I would have fixed it is you just don't have that many people go in. I mean, you had nine inductees, so minimum, that's 18 people speaking. 18. Yeah. And that is if so just break down the numbers. If everybody talks 30 minutes, that's 9 hours.
Yeah. What I would do is they do a great job with those video packages.
Yeah.
I would find people who to induct somebody to talk about them, which is what they do, I understand. But I would let that take the place of the video packages. So you just have a guy who can articulate really well why this guy deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And then they come out and recap their career. And you don't need all those video packages. That's my opinion.
Well, yeah, because those video packages are 4 to 5 minutes, I would say. That's a good hour for nine inductees. And those are the same video packages we've already seen multiple times.
Yes, they done showed them on Raw, showed them on SmackDown, they're online, they showed them on the pre-show. So just get to it.
Right. Well, there you go. There's, you know, if they need to cut an hour, there you go, and we won't charge them anything for the copyright on that.
Well, they're still going to do it next year.
Right, right. I didn't, you know, there wasn't a Mr. T type speech this year. I think everybody talked about things that were, you know, pertinent. I really liked, ironically, if you read some of the news, there were three speeches that WWE kind of took exception with, and I'm not sure why, and that was Shawn Michaels, Kevin Nash, and I'm going to call her Medusa. Mama called him Clay. Well, I'm going to call him Clay.
I think I was just reading that earlier. Medusa, it was with some of the language that she used and the fact that she kind of put over Eric Bischoff.
Right.
And With Shawn Michaels, I think it was that he used the terms wrestlers and straps and things like that, which I don't know how much of that I believe. But with Kevin Nash, it was some of it was beforehand because they wanted to put him in as Diesel, and he flat out told them no, he wanted to go in as Kevin Nash. And then I think where he kind of, you know, they're not happy about the fact that they have to pay everybody that guaranteed money.
Right.
Kind of go up there and kind of brag about that. That's what I, now, truth to that, I don't know.
Right. And if the, you know, if the truth detector people who come out during presidential campaigns had been there for the Hall of Fame, their truth sensors would have been going off crazily. Just a lot of tall tales. And that's okay. I got no problem.
We all remember our own story better than it was.
One of the things somebody mentioned, it may have been Dave Meltzer on his podcast, is Arnold Schwarzenegger was talking about how he grew up watching Otto Wands. I think it has a W, but it said with a V. But he said he grew up watching him wrestle, but the timeline just doesn't work for that to happen as far as Arnold's age. Just things like that. So,
yeah, I think if I'm not mistaken, what I heard was that he and Otto, they're from the same hometown.
Right.
And were friends kind of coming up. So I think just, you know, I think it was just a misspeak.
Right. So what got me so angry on Facebook on some of these groups during the Hall of Fame was people just threw a gasket that Randy Savage did not go in last. They threw a gasket that Kevin Nash went in last. Now, Mark, I was under the impression that everybody already knew that.
I didn't know that. I mean, I remember saying, I said a few months ago when they announced him, he wasn't going to go in last.
Right.
I remember. I wish I could find the sound clip to tell, because I knew that because there's no way that he's going in last and he's not there.
Right. And to be honest, and I'm not saying Lanny Poffo didn't give a heartfelt speech, but Kevin Nash's speech was a better one to end on than Lanny Poffo's speech.
Yeah. Because, I don't mean it negatively, but Kevin Nash is alive. Right. You just don't want the closing thing to be, to me, about a man who's passed away.
Right.
You don't want a sad thing to be how it ends.
But the way people, and so my whole point was, why can't y'all just be happy? It's like here we are begging for Macho Man to go into the Hall of Fame. Now they've decided to put him all in Hall of Fame, and it's not good enough that he's going in the Hall of Fame. You've added a stipulation. Oh, he's got
last-minute stipulation.
And I just thought that was it for me. It didn't ruin the night for me, but it just, what should have been a positive viewing experience, and the mistake I made was being on Facebook while I was trying to watch it. And I actually got banned from this Facebook group.
Out of a group.
By a lady named Marky Bell, not to call anybody out or anything.
Now I can't say all kind of nasty things about people.
Well, and I sent her a message and I said, ma'am, I didn't say ma'am. I said, I did not use profanity. I did not call anybody any names. I was simply having a debate. I said, all I did was disagree with you.
And
I may have disagreed firmly. And a lot of my comments were asking questions.
Right.
The second thing, it wasn't an argument, but this was in, I think it was in our group, the wrestling you grew up with, was just the discussion of Miss Elizabeth. You know, does she deserve to go in? And my, you know, my position is if she was going to go in, she would have went in Saturday night.
Yeah.
That she managed You can talk about all the WCW stuff and her and Woman and Deborah and all that. Throw that out. She managed one person in her career, and it was Macho Man Randy Savage. And right. If she was going to go in, she would. And I'm not saying she shouldn't be in. I'm just saying if they were going to put her in, that's when they would have done it. That's just my personal opinion.
No, I think you're wrong. I mean, I think that they're going to put her in.
Really?
But they're not. Yes, I do think that. Why wouldn't they? She kind of redefined the manager's role to an extent, the valet's role. People really think highly of her in that role. And I think eventually she will go in, but on a night when you're already inducting Randy Savage, who's passed away, and the little boy, Connor Malik, you just don't need another person who is deceased to bring the ceremony down. Will she go in eventually? Yes, I think that she will. They always put a female in.
Yeah. Well, and
there's not this long line of women that they can induct. She's going in at some point.
Yeah.
But it didn't need to be.
So let me be clear, you know, just because, you know, I've kind of stated my position, I'm pulling for her to go in. I want to see her go in. I just, you know, so let's get to, so by the time, so my feed, I got a little behind on the feed because I had some stuff I was doing. So I didn't get finished watching this until like 1 o'clock in the morning, 12, yes. 1 o'clock. It was really late.
The wrestling group was was wrestling in the 70s, 80s, and 90s that we have put over on this show before.
Yes, we have.
And encouraged people to join that group. And it bothered me so much that you got, but like, you made a comment, and the next thing was, well, we can help you exit this thing. And to which I said, so you're going to kick him out of the group because he doesn't agree with you? And then I left the group.
Yeah.
I left myself.
I appreciate you having my back.
Well, I mean, you know, we're friends, man, and I just thought that it was stupid that there's this person on there that because you disagree with them, they're going to kick you out of the group. I just didn't understand that.
Now, we, okay, in effort of full disclosure, we've had to kick people out of our group.
Yeah, I kicked a guy out the other day. I won't say his name. I'll tell you why. Because we got so few rules.
Yeah.
One of the rules is don't use a lot of profanity. Really no profanity, but the small stuff, we always let it go.
Right.
But you've asked him, I've seen it, 5 or 6 times, hey, man, do you mind not using that kind of language?
Yeah.
So I saw him do it again, and I said, hey, man, I need you to stop, or I'm going to kick you out.
Yeah.
And I gave him a little bit of time. Maybe it wasn't enough time for it. But then I got to thinking about it, and I was like, really and truly, after you've been told 5 or 6 times, I don't feel like I owe you anything. So I kicked him out. And then he sends me these long, rambling messages. And just like, here's...
Me too. Here's, sent me too.
Here's the gut shot was that I'm a Justin Bieber fan. I'm a fan of Michael Cole. And I'm a fan of The Miz. So those were his big 1-2-3 punch combo of telling me that. And it was just this rambling. So my only response to him was, I let him punch himself out. Because that's what you got to do with a kid.
Yeah.
You just let them tucker themselves out. And he got tuckered out. I knew he couldn't keep it up for long. So after about 4 or 5 messages, I just finally said, dude, I don't remember my exact words. I'm thoroughly chastised.
Yeah.
You got me. That was a good one. And I don't care enough about you to have this argument. And then I just blocked him. And I never thought that I would have to block somebody on Facebook.
Yeah.
But I just think I agreed with what CM Punk said. Social media is like my kitchen window. If I don't want to hear what you got to say, I just close the window.
Right, right.
And I want to put him over here. Our friend Michael Hofer has got a new website up, the wearefreedomhill.com.
Yeah.
Not A-R-E-W-E with the letter R, freedomhill.com. And he's got a blog up that he wrote that I read. And he talked about that in one of the things, you know, the going back and forth on social media with somebody, and what does it really accomplish?
Right.
Nothing. Right. Yeah. It didn't really accomplish anything. And that's why I didn't do it. I'm just not engaging in that.
Yeah. Because I don't. And for all we know, this kid's mom quit paying for his internet, and he can't even get on Facebook today.
True. True. But just so you know, he also posted on his personal page, because he sent me what he said. Like, he posted about you and me, and he called us by name on his personal page, and that's fine. Like, he didn't tag me in it or anything. So it's not like my friend saw it, so I don't care.
Yeah, I don't think, there's a lot of people in our group that I'm not friends with.
Right.
But we have such a cool group. When we disagree on stuff, we argue strenuously, but it never is personal in our group. And that's what
I'm not going to kick you out for not agreeing with us, which is what the other thing boils down to.
Right.
Is that you were kicked out for having the audacity to question this great wrestling mind.
Yeah. Yeah. And for me personally, having the no profanity rule, that always, in real life and online, that always escalates things, you know, 60 miles per hour faster than they need to be.
Yes. Because I speak that way sometimes. You've been around me when we're not off the air.
Right.
When we're on the show and when I'm on social media, I practice self-censorship.
Yeah.
Because it says a lot to the world. Really, about your intellect and your intelligence level, if that's the only way you can communicate your point. To me, that's my personal opinion about that. I don't need to speak that way in a public forum, because I don't want people to take away from this, wow, he's really this foul-mouthed, you know, whatever.
Right, right.
Even though I may be in real life.
I have kind of determined that I'm just going to start just typing, I disagree.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm going to put. And
I don't even do that.
I disagree.
I just don't care enough to engage with somebody who I don't agree with.
Yeah. Like,
now, if it's a friend of mine and we're having a discussion, that's one thing. But
right. If somebody,
is just gonna get mad at me because I disagreed with him.
So listen, enough of this negative talk. Let's move on to WrestleMania 31.
Let me mention one little quick thing.
Yes, sir.
Or two little quick things about the Hall of Fame. Number one, I was really surprised that Rikishi didn't mention Tuku.
Yes,
because he joined that act and got over.
Yes.
It's not like Rikishi was this great big star that elevated Too Cool.
Yeah.
Too Cool was over, and Rikishi got over by joining them.
Yes.
So I was kind of surprised that he didn't at least acknowledge those guys in his speech.
Yeah.
And the Bushwhackers proved why they were Hall of Fame.
That's exactly right.
Because you could feel it when they walked on the stage. That crowd, even though they were being respectful, because it was a Hall of Fame ceremony, didn't think they belonged up there. And before that speech was over with, they had everybody cheering and everybody laughing. And I thought, everybody says Medusa's speech was the best. I thought their speech was the best. Like, they told some great stories. They made everybody laugh. I just thought they had the best speech of the night.
They were good. And they were... Like, I couldn't tell you what those guys are like in real life, because they did their Hall of Fame speech in character.
Yeah, they did. I got a feeling they're probably really like that. I mean, they were just, they yelled the entire speech. It was great. I loved it.
Yeah. And here's the thing. People talk about that you don't like sports entertainment. Listen, you do like sports entertainment. You can have sports entertainment and wrestling at the same time. But yes, the Hall of Fame had some just some great moments. The Hall of Fame, this was not my problem with the whole weekend. I was so emotionally drained Monday. Right. So the Hall of Fame, it was like you were up and then you were down and then you were up and then you were down. And man, and then the whole, you had Dana Warrior give this speech and she's talking about the Warrior. And then, man, Daniel Bryan. Good night. How do you not love that guy?
Yeah.
I don't care.
He was crying before he even started talking.
And then Connor's dad gets, I mean, did I think it ran a little long? I thought it was great. But it was, and then you got the Bushwhackers, laughed the whole time.
Poor Zbysko, man. He just, you could tell he was so long, he was such a great promo, and he probably thought he was going to just pick right back up, and he just got overwhelmed.
He did.
He got overwhelmed. He kind of fumbled his speech a little bit, but it was still good.
I do want to say this. Hearing the story from Bruno and then from Larry Zbysko, I've never been a fan of the guy until that night, until the Hall of Fame, because I realized that Larry Zbysko was a Bruno Sammartino mark.
Right.
And wanted to be a wrestler so bad, he bugged the guy at his house.
Right.
And so if you are a wrestling, I just want to put this out there. If you are a wrestling fan and you cannot appreciate and respect Larry Zbysko, I'm not even talking about his career. I'm just talking about how he got into the business. To have the cojones to go to Bruno Sammartino's house. Larry, well done, sir. Well done.
Okay. You ready to talk about WrestleMania now?
Sure. Let's do it.
Gonna answer that phone call first.
No. I thought I turned man, it's spring breaks. My kids, who knows what they're doing. WrestleMania. We watched it here at the church. We had, between 20 and 30 people coming in and out. The taco bar was kicking. And I'm going to be honest, we were doing some transitional stuff during the opening, the tag team match. And right. So I haven't been able to go back, but I missed a good chunk of it. But I could tell just from watching the crowd we had that it was nonstop action.
Yeah, it was. It was a good match.
It is rare. That not rare. That's the wrong word, but it seemed to be a match that it didn't hurt anybody. Everybody got over, got their junk in, and it was a good match.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was what it should have been—a good first match to kind of get everybody on their feet and hopping.
Then the next match, now you and I had both picked the Usos to win the tag team titles. We were obviously wrong, but hey.
Well, they got him out of there. We mentioned that one of them was injured, and they got him out of there quick. So one of them had to wrestle by himself. So, we were wrong on a lot of stuff.
Well, that's true. We were the Battle Royal. I thought the only issue I had with the Battle Royal was, Hideo Itami. The whole crowd knew that just two nights before he had hit the GTS on Tyler Breeze, and they were ready for that, and we didn't get it.
Well, it's because he's an NXT guy.
Right. What did you think? We thought it would come down to the Miz and Mizdow, the two of them.
We weren't wrong.
No, but I thought the way they did it was perfect.
Yeah, I do too.
I have no issue with Big Show winning this thing. And I thought the fact that the way they did this split, that Miz was commanding Mizdow to kind of fight the Big Show. Listen.
Yeah.
As much as we mock and question WWE booking, I'm not going to do any of that on that match. Good finish. A lot of false finishes in this.
The only thing I might would have tweaked about it was not having Big Show win it this year.
Yeah.
And give him a reason to come back. You know you're on video, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to know if you if you realized that I saw you stick your finger in your nose.
It was it was not a pick.
You just worked the RAM a little bit. I understand.
I'm messing with my mic.
Speaking of kicking something out of the ring, you're kicking a couple of boogers out that square circle you call a nose. Oh, Nostradamus. Anyway, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have called you out for that, but the folks will get a kick out of it.
We're podcast entertainers.
That's right. Maybe I would have had him come back a few years and kind of have it be a thing where when he got ready to scale his schedule back a little bit, that would have been what he came back to win that battle royal. I thought that would have been a good story they could have milked for a few years.
Yeah.
But I'm fine with him winning. It didn't. I'm fine with whoever won anything. I love wrestling, but not enough that it ruins my life when my guy doesn't win.
Right. So the next match was the Intercontinental title ladder match. I thought this thing was great. Outside of the Bad News Barrett suplex off the ladder to Stardust.
Yeah.
Good night. That was a nice spot. And when Luke Harper power bombs Dean Ambrose to the outside through that ladder, I mean, I could just hear JR. Good God, he's broken in half.
Yeah, that man's got a family.
And I was very surprised to see Dean Ambrose on Raw Monday night, and with. You know that because he was on Raw, he was they're not going to put him on with a concussion.
Right. Yeah, he's a good guy.
I think it was one of those things that it looked worse than it actually – I mean, he did get a bad cut on his head. And I think there's actually video on WWE that you can kind of see him getting medical attention. But, I mean, the good thing, no one seriously – hurt. And Daniel Bryan winning. I think everybody had that picked. One thing I loved about this match, and I couldn't think back to the other ladder matches Dolph Ziggler had been in. That guy, I mean, you always make fun of the guys taking forever to get up the ladder. Every time Dolph Ziggler got on that ladder, he went from the bottom to the top in about two steps.
Yes, he did. He got up that thing quick.
And it gave a little urgency to the fact, you know, he's trying to get up the ladder.
Yeah.
So I thought that was.
And one thing I thought I had about just this match and the use of now having elevating the Intercontinental title back to prominence.
Right.
I think one of the problems that people have had recently is there's really only been one major title.
Right.
And one major storyline. It's everybody versus the Authority. So when you have that, there can only be one main guy.
Yeah.
Excuse me. This pollen. Pollen's got me kind of messed up today. But now if you elevate a couple of titles, then everybody's got a storyline and they have things that they can be going after. And maybe it satisfies that. Why is my guy not the number one guy that's going into this main storyline? So you can have Sheamus and Bad News Barrett and Dolph Ziggler and Daniel Bryan restoring the prominence to the workers' title, because that's what the Intercontinental title was for years. These are the best workers, and they're the ones that are going for the Intercontinental title. So maybe that'll make people happy.
And I thought that bringing Sheamus back on Monday night was good. They've set up. It was rumored for a while that he was going to wrestle Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. I think this is better because now they've got they're fighting over the Intercontinental title. They're setting up a feud with Dean Ambrose and Luke Harper. What do you know? Logical booking that these two guys, they dress alike. They might as well feud a little bit and you coming out of that spot at WrestleMania. Randy Orton.
Mohawk.
What now?
How about Sheamus's mohawk?
Yeah, I mean, you know,
people talk about Raw by itself.
We can talk about everything. Listen, it's our show. We do what we want to.
Well, I didn't know if you wanted to have a timeline here. That's what I meant.
Let's just go ahead. Let's go ahead and talk about Sheamus now, because really, there's only one thing to talk about Raw.
Well, that's true.
I thought, you know, everybody on Facebook was like, oh, man, Sheamus looks stupid. Here's my thing. He doesn't look like everybody else.
There you go. And he's a heel.
Yes.
So he's okay if he looks ridiculous.
Yeah, he ain't.
Because they were chanting that at him. He knew that they were going to chant, you look ridiculous, and this and that and the other, and they did.
Yeah.
That's what it, you know, a novel idea. A guy does something to alter his appearance to generate a little heat.
Yeah, and I want to be, you know, Sheamus before, as big as he was, you know, he kind of looked like the guy next door, the guy that, you know, all right, let's go play kickball or something like that. But now he looks like, I don't want to hang out with you anymore.
Yeah, that's right. So you wanted to hang out with Sheamus?
Well,
you already got one fishy white redheaded friend.
Well, I've.
Are you planning on replacing me?
Well, I never thought of you as Sheamus. I thought Kerry Trainum was Sheamus.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You do. You got two fishy white redheaded friends.
You're more. Let's see. I mean, I know I'm. Let's see. What wrestler am I? I'm trying to think. Trying to.
Based on what I saw earlier, I'd call you Bastion Booger.
You know, and physically, that's not far off either. Let's go this the next match. Randy Orton and Seth Rollins. I thought they had a great match.
Yeah, it was good.
I thought we have seen Randy Orton give the RKO in what I... Like, if you told me before this match they're going to do the RKO in a new way, and I would have said, no, it's just not possible. They've done it every way imaginable. And that spot, that was great.
Yeah, that was cool. That was really cool. Like, I had to rewind it and watch that.
Yeah. And let's say something about, I mean, Seth Rollins and wrestling. We talked about 95. We talked about 96 WCW. We talked a lot about Hulk Hogan no-selling Vader's powerbomb and no-sell. Seth Rollins, Randy Orton didn't really do, I mean, he didn't really do anything special in that spot. I mean, their timing was great.
Yeah.
But Seth Rollins sold the other guy's move.
Right.
And that's, when you got one guy that ain't willing to sell for the other guy, that's when your company goes out of business.
That's right.
Anyway, I thought that was great. Sets up, you know, they're going to be, I mean, spoiler alert, they're going to be the main event at Extreme Rules. I think that's going to be great. It kind of leaves that feud open-ended. So that's good.
I got to tell you, man, I think we talked about it with the preview. I knew when Randy Orton won that he was cashing in. Because there again, they're the only wrestling company in the history of wrestling that thinks the best way to get somebody over to elevate them is to have them lose.
I wasn't sure if he was going to cash in Sunday or Monday, but when he lost, I said, yeah, it's only a matter of time. The next match, you know, we've been waiting years for, Triple H and Sting.
Have you been waiting years for that one?
Sting and anybody. Sting could have wrestled.
You've been waiting years to see Sting at WrestleMania.
And I don't care who he wrestled. If you had told me before WrestleMania, hey, that's going to be the longest match of the card, I'd have been like, you are out of your mind. There's no way these guys are going to go almost 20 minutes and keep my attention. I thought, my only issue, with the entire card, and you can please correct me if I'm wrong, But when the NWO comes out to save Sting, I know that business-wise, that's the logical choice, that the right. NWO is going to come out. But especially since all we've been watching is WCW 96 and 97 some, you know, Sting's, the only reason he's the Crow is because of the NWO.
Right.
So.
Well, I don't disagree with any of what you're saying, but I want to start at the entrances.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Because Sting's entrance made no sense to me.
No, it did not. I did not understand any of that. I didn't know who was entering. I thought perhaps the Great Muta.
That's what everybody says. Is Great Muta coming out?
Tensai? I don't know.
And then as far as Triple H goes, they never, ever, 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 ever in the history of bringing up all the crappy stuff WCW did – they never get to bring RoboCop up again.
No.
They don't. Because there's no telling how much money they spent on that dang entrance for him.
No.
That was ridiculous, man.
And it was
goofy.
Now, here's what I have heard, okay, just reading the Arena Report, is that it looked worse on TV than it did live. Because if you're live... Yeah. You're 1,000 feet away or whatever. But the guy next to me, Eric Harper, he says, is that thing made out of tinfoil? I mean, yeah. That's how I felt. And I thought it was fine. If Triple H's headgear had been a little, that was the only problem I had with it. I thought the rest of it, I can live with that. I can live with all the Terminators. I just thought what Triple H was wearing looked ridiculous.
It did. The whole thing was just dumb. I mean, I get it. It's a tie-in, and I love the Terminator movie.
Yeah,
and you can't spend years saying they brought RoboCop out. It was so stupid because I love the movie RoboCop.
Yeah,
but it don't got no place in wrestling.
No,
and I love the Terminator movies, but they didn't have no place. What was it supposed to mean?
I don't know. See, and I didn't like the several of the entrances had a video component to it,
yeah.
And I didn't like that at all.
Well, we'll get to those.
Well, I mean, Triple H has had that because it did the thing where it was sticking out the target, and I read somewhere, and if I remembered, I'd give him credit that Arnold kept putting them off, and actually didn't film that piece for WrestleMania until the night before, and so they were scrambling for the whole entrance. But it was dumb. I didn't understand Sting's entrance. The match itself was great. Once the run then started, I was standing up the whole time.
First of all, I don't think I would consider them run ins. They were more like mall walk ins. Okay. The shuffle ins started. But you know, as soon as DX come out, I knew. Oh, the NWO is coming out.
Yeah. And what did make it, which side is Xbox supposed to take?
He was with DX.
I know what side he was, but anyway, he's not important. I guess they had to even the sides up. I thought Shawn Michaels coming in like he did. I didn't expect that. That was great.
Yeah, because he kind of was just there all of a sudden. I didn't even see him come down.
Right. No, he didn't come down. It was like he was sitting. He came up. He didn't come down the aisle. He came. He snuck into the ring.
Yeah, it was the most illogical. You know, where you see all these guys who are on stage hugging each other and talking about how much they loved each other the night before. And Sting feuded with these guys the whole time they were in WCW. Illogical, overbooked, ridiculous bells and whistles ever that I have ever seen in a match. And I loved every minute of it.
Yes, I could not agree with you more.
Yes, it made no sense. But I looked at it like when we went to the Legends convention.
Right.
It was that kind of deal. I know they don't really hate each other. It was a great nostalgic moment.
Yeah.
I thought that the Horsemen, I thought they should have called Barry Windham and Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson and Ric Flair and J.J. Dillon in, and they should have come down too and turned on Sting and beat him up.
That would have been great. I thought the same thing. But this,
that should have been the finish of the match. The Horsemen should have come down like they were going to save Sting, beat him up, and Triple H won, because it would have fit right in more logically with the narrative of Okay. So what did you think about Sting losing?
I was, if I woke up in the morning with my head sewed to the carpet, I wouldn't be any more surprised than I was when Sting got pinned.
Didn't I tell you on the preview show, don't be surprised if Triple H pulls some stuff and he goes over in this match?
Yeah, you did. And I guess I shouldn't be surprised. But I think with everything that happened in that match, it didn't matter. I didn't really care who won.
I don't think it mattered, really. I mean, if it's Sting's last match,
right. That's fine. I mean,
it's what Taz said. Taz had an interesting take on it, because I listened to what he said, because he's talked to Sting.
Yeah.
And he said Sting told him the only thing he needed in his career, the only thing he wishes he had, was a good WrestleMania moment. And that's what he cared about. That's what he wanted for his career, was that cool moment.
And he got that, for sure.
And he got it. And we got that moment that, as wrestling fans, we always say, I wish I could have seen NWO versus DX.
Yeah.
And yeah, they were all past their prime.
Yeah.
And yes, they didn't have this long, drawn-out War Games match. But you still got, when you and I did our WrestleMania dream cards, both of us and anybody who would have done one would have had those two factions face each other.
Yeah.
So to see it, I don't care. Overbooked? Yes. Illogical? Yes. But I come up and stood up. I stood up and watched it.
Yes.
Because it was that exciting to me.
As soon as the DX music hit, I stood up and didn't sit down again.
Yeah, me either. Because I knew the NWO was coming.
It was a great moment, and I think
it was a moment that nobody called that.
No.
I didn't hear anybody say this is going to happen during this match.
No. I mean, it wasn't even on the radar. Let me ask you this. Moving forward, and I'm just speaking from Triple H's perspective, I thought it was good they kept him off Raw the other night. From Triple H's perspective, Sting broke the sledgehammer.
Right.
So is he allowed to bring that weapon back, or was that kind of end of that? I don't know. I'm thinking too much into it.
Yeah, I think you're reading way too much into that.
All right. Let's move. The Divas match was the only match on the card. The four-way tag team match was 9 minutes, 58 seconds. I'm going to count that as 10 minutes. The Divas match was very serviceable. It had a logical end. That's all I want to say about it. It was the only match under 10 minutes. And that's very, I think if you look back, that's kind of rare for WrestleMania to have so many extended matches. I would get one. There's typically, I know the WrestleMania I went to, there was a couple of matches that probably didn't go 5 minutes. Right. So I feel like we got our money's worth. Do you have anything to say about the Divas match?
The only thing I'll say about the Divas match is, when it came out at the time that it did, I went, really? Because normally that's before the title match.
Right.
And then I found out later why.
Why?
Huh?
Why?
Well, they were just, I think that they were trying to get it as dark as they could for Undertaker and Bray Wyatt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's what we kept saying, when's the Undertaker match? I said, they can't have it till the sun goes down a little bit.
Well, we'll get to that. I got something I want to say about it, but I don't want to say it yet.
All right. Cena and Rusev. I didn't get Cena's entrance. I thought Rusev's entrance was phenomenal.
Rusev's entrance is one of the greatest entrances I've ever seen.
See, I wasn't going to, I felt that, but I didn't want to say that.
Why not? Because you thought I'd make money.
I do. The man came in on a tank, Mark.
Yes. It was one of the best entrances I've ever seen.
It was logical. The way they paraded Lana down with the belt, with the soldiers and the Russian flag, it was great. And yes. I didn't feel that Cena's entrance, it didn't fit Cena. Because Cena hasn't really been playing the red, white, and blue, you know, America's better than you kind of deal. Cena is the same character no matter who he's facing, no matter what the circumstances. And I felt like to kind of throw, well, now he's defending America. I'm like, no. So to me.
Just to be clear, John Cena was not in the military, even though.
Right.
I don't even think John Cena did ROTC in high school.
Right, right.
I might be wrong about that, but he was not a Marine.
No. No, he played one in a movie, and that's about it.
And that has become his gimmick, but he is not a Marine.
Nah. I had no problem. I mean, it was the logical end for this was for Rusev to lose.
Everybody knew this was going to happen.
They're going to fight again at Extreme Rules. I thought the way Rusev came out on Raw, and who did he wrestle on Raw? Jack Swagger?
No. Goldust, mate.
Goldust, that's right. I thought he was still a monster. They're teasing stuff with him and Lana, though that would be the dumb to split them up now. I don't know that's
well, it's going to happen. The word is, you know, newsflash, she's not really Russian. And she has done a movie with WWE Studios because she's been in other movies before. She's a good actress.
Yeah.
That's why people think she's really Russian.
Right.
But she's in a WWE Studios film.
Right.
And I don't think she speaks with the Russian accent. And they're actually, and I don't, this is just speculation. I try not to deal in rumor too much, but that they are going to probably split them up and she will start using an American accent, with the story being that somehow she's been brainwashed.
Ah, that would actually be kind of logical.
So I don't know if there's any truth to that or not. And maybe they won't go that route, but. Maybe they'll say, wow, she's such a good actress, you can't even tell she's not Russian in this movie. that'll probably be more than likely what they'll do.
I did feel, I'm still weighing how I feel about in the era of kicking out of finishers 10 times, that Rusev, who's been booked as this monster, he gets the AA once and is pinned. And it's a quick. But I did like the ending. It wasn't a clean finish in that Lana was involved, and so I thought they protected. The guy came in on a tank. If we haven't said that already, if a guy comes in on a tank, you can beat him down and leave him for dead. Doesn't change the fact he came in on a tank.
That's right.
Undertaker and Bray Wyatt. Let's talk about the entrances here. They had to let it get a little bit dark. What did you think of Bray Wyatt's entrance?
I mean, it was fine. I mean, I knew he was going to have some sort of entrance. I wasn't expecting, Scarecrow zombie walking, but, you know, it was fine. It was kind of goofy, if we're being honest, but, I mean, it fits.
Yeah, yeah. after a match where you've asked me to believe that the Russian army has come to escort Rusev down, and now we got scarecrows.
Maybe those are going to be his, Undertaker always had the druids.
So maybe
these would be Bray Wyatt's followers coming down. Maybe that was their thing with that.
What'd you think of Undertaker's entrance?
I thought it was phenomenal because it was so understated.
Yes.
Everybody thought be this great elaborate thing, and to me the fact that the sun hadn't gone down yet made it even better, because he's a guy in the twilight of his career walking the ring at sunset. The sun was setting behind the Undertaker, and he looked and was dressed like an old gunslinger in the old west.
I thought
the visual was great. I know a lot of people were wishing it had been dark. personally, when I watched it, I said, man, that is awesome that the sun's setting on this guy, because it's setting on his career, and the sun's setting like he's walking into battle one more time.
They could not have scripted it any better. No, I had not thought of it in those terms. I do think it says a lot about The Undertaker that in this match, the guy just he basically just walked to the ring. Like, basically, yes. Basically the message is, this guy doesn't need an entrance.
Right. It was a cool man. I mean, I enjoyed it. I liked the fact that it wasn't overly produced.
I thought their match was, it gave me the spots that I wanted to see. I don't think Bray Wyatt. Go ahead.
He was telling everybody backstage after the match that he felt great. The Undertaker was just a 180 from what happened last year.
Yeah. And he looked, I'm talking about even before the match, looked a lot better than he did before his match with Brock Lesnar a year ago.
I think it was that hair. I really do. I think that hair he had made him look like a goblin.
And he looked way off last year. But this year I was like, I would not mess with him. Last year I would have messed with him.
Would you? He'd have still whipped your tail.
No. That man's got two bad hips. He ain't catching me.
I heard that. No, I thought, you know, the great thing about it, I think, for him now is the pressure of that streak is off.
Yeah.
And to have these classic matches with guys like Shawn Michaels and Triple H is off. Now he can just go out there once a year and have fun.
And he looked like he was having fun.
Right, and he did. He looked like he was enjoying what he was doing, and he broke out some of the old spots. He's not doing the suicide dive anymore, and I don't blame him.
No. You know what I mean? After that jabroni forgot to catch him at WrestleMania 25.
Man. And got fired.
Yeah.
If I'm not, that guy was, I forget, maybe Jimmy Snuka's son, and we ain't seen him since then.
No. I like the fact that Bray Wyatt was kept off Raw. I'm very interested where they take his character from here. I think Bray Wyatt is way over. He is so talented. He is so different than anything we've seen from the WWE in years.
I think the smart thing is to not use him every week.
Right.
I mean, you know, I'm sure he wants to be there every week. His character and his gimmick, he's got to have somebody to go against.
Right.
That's not Randy Orton, you know, that's not Seth Rollins. It's got to be him against somebody like The Undertaker used to do, where he would either fight monsters or he's the conquering hero. He's got to be one or the other.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they have to, like, set on a path with him. And decide what if he's going to be a heel, then he needs to be an evil, diabolical heel. And if he's going to be a babyface, he needs to do just like Undertaker and fight anybody in any kind of match that they want and never give up. And I think that's the way to go with
it. So who would you book him with that way?
You know, I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know who to book him with at this point. Maybe Rusev.
You know, I was thinking that too.
You know, maybe Rusev goes on a tear and Bray Wyatt's the guy that he finally comes up against and he meets, and then it turns Bray Wyatt babyface. I don't know. That's just off the top of my head. Even put Kane back in the mask.
Yeah.
Face Kane. But it's got to be something like that. Or, you know, he had a good feud with John Cena. I would have, if he's going to be the heel, when I get a babyface champion, I have him going after the championship. But he's going to be like Undertaker. He's not going to need the title to be over.
Absolutely agree.
Champions, they're special attractions.
Yeah.
And he would make a good guy that you see five or six times a year have a program with somebody.
Yeah. Like I said, you know, I agree with you. Kudos to him. You know, the word out was he got a pretty severely sprained ankle Sunday afternoon, and you know, fought through it, and yeah, I thought they put on a great match. Now I do want to say, would you say, were there any 5-star matches?
No, I don't think so.
Let's talk about the main event, and then I want to come back and talk about 5-star matches. The main event: Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns.
Yeah,
I did not think. I think we said as much that they were. I didn't think they were going to be able to have a great match, but I think they did. They did. This match was booked perfectly. In my personal opinion, you put this in a time capsule. This is how you book a match where you're not sure what to do. You're not sure what the crowd reaction. I thought Roman Reigns, you can question his mic skills. You can question his wrestling skills. I'm not going to argue with either of those on you. I will argue the fact that
he takes a butt whooping like nobody's business.
But his he did. But the way he sold it, his facial expressions, I thought he was fantastic.
He played Cool Hand Luke, man.
He did.
You know, have you seen Cool Hand Luke?
I have. It's been a while. It's been a long time since I've seen it, but yes.
Well, in the movie Cool Hand Luke, he goes to the work camp and he meets up with George Kennedy, and George Kennedy hates his guts.
Yeah.
And they finally get in a fight, and George Kennedy just starts wearing him out.
Yeah.
And he beats him down, and Luke just keeps getting back up.
Yeah.
And he knocks him down, and he gets back up. And every time they knock him, every time George Kennedy knocks him down, Cool Hand Luke gets back up. And he wins his respect. And I thought that Roman Reigns earned a lot of people's respect that night. That crowd, I don't care. I know what I see with my eyes.
Yeah.
When I watch the crowd.
Yeah.
When he started making his comeback, they started popping.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. They can try to deny it and try to dispute the videotape proof, but Roman Reigns, a wise man once said, win the crowd, win your freedom. And I think Roman Reigns did that the other night.
That's right.
I thought it was great. I thought Brock, and it was awesome that in the first minute of the match, people are like, man, Brock's trying to fight this guy. And Brock gets his face scratched up. And it looks like, man, they're really going at it. That's the thing about Brock. He is so believable. I mean, people have spent the last 4 days debating whether or not he bladed or not. And did the ref hand Roman Reigns come out? No, he did not. WWE says, we don't do that anymore. But I thought...
Yeah, I think they're full of crap.
Yeah, oh, you think he did, Blake?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Because he's cut right up on his hairline. I don't know. Maybe he didn't, but the good thing, I would love as a wrestler to be able to work with a guy like Brock Lesnar, because you can't seem to work stiff enough that it bothers him.
No.
You know what I mean? Because those guys were throwing some heavy blows at each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Both of them were bleeding from the mouth. I mean, they were laying a man. And it was a good, good, intense fight.
Yeah.
So whether he juiced or not, I don't know. I saw the video of it looking like the ref handed. I saw it when it happened on live.
Yeah.
I saw him reach down and grab his hand. But I thought, I didn't take it as he was handing him a blade. I thought that he was checking him to make sure he was okay. Like, squeeze my finger and let me know. Yeah. That's what I think was going on there.
Right, okay. And that's what I think that was happening. These guys...
Because he had just, like, dove over the top rope or something. Right. And I thought it was just, let me make sure that you're still... Because referees will do that a lot if you watch them.
Right, yes.
They're constantly making sure everything's okay with the guy.
I thought, you know, the story coming in, Brock Lesnar had re-signed, and Brock Lesnar that was a pretty good babyface interview on ESPN.
Oh, yeah.
And he that guy is over. I mean, It's a shame he is not full time, because I think he could. I mean, they wouldn't have to put a rocket up his rear end to push him to the moon.
Man, I have said before, if he had liked working this, if he had the work ethic that John Cena does,
yeah,
where he wanted to work that schedule,
yeah,
and wanted to make all those appearances, and he liked people, we wouldn't even be sitting. We wouldn't even be talking about John Cena being on the card.
Yeah,
you wouldn't know. You wouldn't care about Randy Orton. You wouldn't care about Batista. You wouldn't care about John Cena, because Brock Lesnar would have been the guy for the past 15 years carrying that company.
Yeah.
And he would have been a huge star.
Maybe the star.
He may be bigger. He may, if he had wanted to do it, been a bigger star than Austin. The only thing that hurt him was he can't cut a promo.
Right.
You know, and that has hurt him. But other than that, man, he's believable in the ring. He's so good in the ring that that's not important.
And he, the way that he sold in the ring, like when Roman made his comeback and Brock wouldn't go down, was just phenomenal. And when that music hit and you realize Seth Rollins is going to cash in, and he makes it a three-way match. Now, I put this question on our Facebook group, and I've talked to different people, and I think this was the finish for WrestleMania for a while. They may not have told everybody, like they may not have told Roman Reigns, oh, Seth's going to win the title at WrestleMania. Because if you listen to a lot of the stories, Roman Reigns' dad, I just read a couple of articles that they were upset. Listen. Okay, but
I heard the same thing. I don't know how much truth there is to it, but I heard there were 40 or 50 pissed off Samoans backstage who were ready to fight. If you've ever tried to snatch a Samoan up, it's not an easy feat.
No,
I'm gonna tell you what, brother. I'm a big boy, and I've probably told you this before. I tried to jerk one up one time, and he didn't budge.
Yeah.
Those Samoans, man. Listen, if there's going to be a stereotype about you being the toughest people on the planet, I don't think it's a negative one.
No.
Let me tell you, those Samoans are all men, brother.
Yeah.
They are. I put my hands on one time, and it's all that I've ever wanted to put my hands on one. I'm just going to put it that way. Because he roundly thrashed me.
So Seth Rollins comes in. They do this spot. I thought it was great where Brock's going to F5 Rollins. And he gets speared by Roman Reigns. And before Roman can get back up, Seth curb stomps him, gets the pin. I thought all three guys are over. That was a hot finish. You have this open-ended storyline that we'll get into. Now you got a ticked off Brock. And the question of, where does Roman Reigns go from here? You know what Brock's going to do. I just thought that was the best case scenario for the.
I don't know. I might still would have went with Roman Reigns, because I think the crowd was getting behind him, and I think if he'd have won, they would have accepted it.
No,
They didn't want a situation where the champion standing in the ring, just like they had at Royal Rumble, and everybody poo-pooing it.
Right.
They didn't want that, so they did what they felt like they had to do to get out of that situation. Just like they did last year, when they knew if they put Batista and Orton in the main event, that people were going to boo, so they added Daniel Bryan, because they don't want the lasting image from WrestleMania to be everybody booing.
Yeah, but I think my point is, and I agree with everything you said, but I think last year the crowd forced their hand a little bit, and I think this year they forced Roman Reigns because they knew. I think they played us, and maybe I'm giving them too much credit. I think they knew at the Royal Rumble this is the reaction Roman Reigns is going to get, and I think they knew all along we're going to feed him Reigns and they're going to reject him. And we're going to swerve them with Seth Rollins. And that's just my personal opinion. I might be wrong. Who knows? This is all I know. We talked about five-star matches. One of my favorite movies and one of your favorite movies of all time is Dead Poets Society. And there's a great scene in that movie where Rob Williams says, turn to page one of your introduction, and we're going to talk about rating poetry. And you have one line that is the effect of the poem, and the other is the structure of the poem. And he talks about rating the poem. He's like, all right, boys, I want you to tear that page out. I think there's a lot of wrestling fans who it's like they only watch wrestling with their head. Right. And they're only looking for the technical aspect of it. On the other hand, I think there's wrestling fans that watch it with just their heart. And they're willing to look at Kamala and One Man Gang slug it out for 3 minutes and say, oh man, was that not awesome? To me,
would you think I think you're more like that.
Well,
I think you're like that. You're more of a watch it with your heart than watch it with your brain kind of guy.
But for me, yes. This card, WrestleMania 31, did what I needed it to do. It took me on an emotional roller coaster. And what I mean by that is, I don't even want to say that. It wasn't a roller coaster. It's like they took me to this high point and never let me come down from there. Like they gave me a 7 minute break for the Divas match. Then Rusev came out on a tank, and I'm like, what in the world? And then that match, you know, I really didn't have a vested interest in that match. But I'm telling you, it's like emotionally, I was just yelling. I was hoarse Monday morning. I was so into this card, and I was. Like, I think you're absolutely right about me. I was emotionally, my heart, I was invested in this card. I needed it to be great. It did not disappoint, in my opinion. I don't think there was, what I would say, there wasn't a bad match on the card.
No, even like, Sting and Triple H's match was not great.
No.
But there was so much going on, and it gave you so much of that nostalgia. When we saw the Rock and Roll Express versus Dr. Tom Pritchard and Bobby Fulton, that match was not great either.
No.
But that doesn't mean I didn't enjoy that match.
Yes. And so
that's how I felt about Sting and Triple H. It was not a great match.
But
I enjoyed.
So, but does that mean that it was a great match? If they elicit the emotional response from you that they're trying to get, then isn't that...
That kind of goes back to where you talk about people watch with their hearts and then some people watch with their heads. I tend to watch with both.
Well, I can definitely,
you know what I mean? Like,
I can definitely see that.
I don't know. There's a difference between eliciting a response from me and having a great match.
Right.
I don't know if that makes sense or not.
No. It makes. Yeah, I absolutely hear. What you're saying. So go back 4 months to the Wrestle Kingdom card. That card, I didn't have any emotional investment in that card.
No,
but I thoroughly enjoyed that card. Thoroughly enjoyed everything that happened, and
it was just as good, but it was good for a different reason.
That's exactly right, and I think there's
it's kind of like McDonald's is not great.
No,
I've never eaten at McDonald's and said, man, I got to tell you.
Right.
That ranks in the top five meals I've ever had in my life.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? That was not a five-star dining experience by any stretch of the imagination. But every now and then, when you and me go to a wrestling show and we stop and get a couple of McRibs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just fine.
Yeah, that's
kind of how I felt about some of those matches.
So
they were McDonald's.
You're right. So WrestleMania weekend, it's really Hall of Fame, WrestleMania, and then the Raw after WrestleMania. I felt that they, I felt like they did it everything at WrestleMania they needed to do. I felt there was one year Dolph Ziggler cashed in on Alberto Del Rio on Monday night, and I always wondered, well, why didn't they just do that on Sunday? But I didn't feel, I felt like this year WrestleMania was kind of this, wasn't a period or an exclamation point. It was a it was a good comma, or maybe it was an exclamation point. I don't know. But let's just.
Well, WrestleMania is becoming used to it was the culmination of an entire year's worth of storyline.
Right.
But now WrestleMania has become a special attraction night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come see the. Because you left out The Rock and Ronda Rousey showing up at WrestleMania.
Oh. Forgot it. Oh, my goodness. Was that not a great moment?
Oh, incredible. Because every once in a while, somebody's got to shut Stephanie McMahon up.
That was great. That, yeah. And, you know, all the speculation now of, you know, is The Rock going to face Triple H at WrestleMania 32? And WrestleMania 32 has got to be an amazing lineup. I mean, it's got to have like three or four of these attraction matches.
And I tell you, I know people think they want to see it. I think they don't. I mean, I think people are going to be disappointed if they give us Sting and Undertaker. But word is that they shared a dressing room.
Yeah.
And that they spent a lot of time together. So it wouldn't be surprised if they don't talk each other into the fact that they can have this great spectacle match. I don't know. I kind of hope they don't.
I would put it out there. And I would ask Vince McMahon to pony up the money to make this happen. I would love to see Sting and Undertaker make an appearance around a Royal Rumble where they have to join forces.
Yeah.
And have Sting. And I don't know who you would put them against. I really don't. But I'd rather see them team up than go against each other.
Yeah, like, I would.
Think about this moment, Mark, where Sting and Undertaker in the ring back to back and got to fight off some people.
Yeah.
I mean,
that'd be cool. I think you're right. I think that would be better. And it don't need to be Big Show and Kane.
No, I think I'd pee my pants if that happened. I'd pee my pants if Sting and Undertaker fought off a bunch of people.
Yeah, but it doesn't need, they don't need to face Big Show and Kane, is what I'm saying.
No.
That does not need to be who they face.
100% agree with you, and I don't know how they would do it. As soon as The Rock left the ring the other night, because they had shown Ronda Rousey, I knew what was happening, and I popped. I was out of my seat.
Oh, yeah. Out of my seat. I saw that coming. Or I didn't. I saw it coming, too.
I thought it was great, and you can say what you want about Triple H. He allowed himself to get hip-tossed by a woman the other night.
Yeah, that's true.
And you know why? Because that was best for business. That's true.
I think she could wear him out in real life. I've never heard these great Triple H's a tough guy stories. So.
No. You're right.
He just plays tough on TV.
Let's talk about a legit tough guy who showed it on Monday, and that's Brock Lesnar. I thought the way they played him on Monday was perfect. It was a logical storyline. I thought the only thing that didn't make sense Monday night is, why can't you just tip that announce table back over?
Yeah, I didn't understand why somebody would have to make an extended hospital stay for a table falling on them. But, you know, especially when those tables fall on them all the time.
Right. I thought, man.
But there was one thing I liked about it, very subtle, but I still liked it, was Stephanie, and I talk about it all the time, she castrates everybody.
Right.
And there's this moment where she's telling him, you don't do this, don't do it, and he just smiles at her and does it anyway.
I loved it.
You know what I mean? He is an alpha male. She's not going to tell him what he can and can't do.
Yeah.
And I loved that. And it plays into – some of that real life stuff.
Yeah.
They just incorporate those small, because he, Brock Lesnar, working for WWE is not his dream job.
No, no.
That's why he got the money that he got.
Yeah.
That's why he can wait till then. That's why they treat him that way, because he'll leave. He's already proved it one time.
Yeah.
He'll go somewhere else and make money. He's fine.
Yeah.
And as much as they hate that, I think they love it too.
Right.
Because he's not a guy who's living his dream. He's a guy who's doing a job.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not just happy to be there. He's happy. No. He's happy to get paid to do something that he does enjoy doing.
Right. Exactly. But he'll go somewhere else if they want him to.
I thought that whole storyline was great. I thought it was logical. He's written off TV, suspended or whatever. Now you got this moment where you know Brock's hadn't been around in a while, and he's going to show up. And who's he going to show up to fight, and when's he going to show up? Now you kind of got that to look forward to. Neville makes his debut, thankfully not in a Mighty Mouse gimmick. Can I say,
how do we know that that wasn't what they intended all along? Because he had a cape on, so who knows that that's not what they were planning? And word just gets out about this stuff.
Well, that's true.
You know what I mean?
People
were mad because they dropped his name. Who cares? His name was Adrian.
Right. I appreciate the fact that they didn't give me one more wrestler coming out wearing his T-shirt.
Right. I liked it, man. I thought, and he's a guy that people are going to get behind.
Yeah, he's talented enough. He doesn't need a gimmick.
And he's going to be just like Daniel Bryan. What got Daniel Bryan over was that intense offense of his. And he showcased his intense offense. When he starts going on a tear and cutting those flips like he was doing, people are going to start cheering for him. And he's going to go and he's going to wrestle in the Intercontinental weight class that they got going on now.
Yeah.
And that's good. That's what he should do.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Neville, more than likely, is not going to be the WWE World Champion.
Probably not. But we don't know, but probably.
But he's going to greatly entertain us. Let's just enjoy it while he's around. I lost my train of thought there. We were talking about Neville.
He and Ziggler and Bryan and Sheamus and Bad News Barrett and maybe even Dean Ambrose are going to have great matches for the Intercontinental title.
Yes. Yes.
I think as long as they keep the Intercontinental title elevated and the U.S. title, just like we talked about, because that's been the problem. There's only one storyline. When you start giving those guys good matches with good storylines, people are going to feel satisfied.
Yeah. Do you know what was great? What was different about Monday night is once the announcers got hurt, Byron Saxton comes in, and I was a little bit critical of him because he was really subdued, and I think he was playing up what had just happened. Mike Mooneyham mentioned that, and who am I to question or argue with Mike Mooneyham? But here's the second thing, Mark. As I was watching the last, 2 hours of Rock, because Brock came out 9 o'clock for his match with Seth, the last 2 hours of Raw, we were watching matches, especially the Neville match, that did not have hyperbolic commentary over it. It's like it's almost like you had the volume turned down and you were just watching the match and you were listening to the crowd. And it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Just the way the guys were feeding off the crowd, that, you know, Byron Saxton and Jerry Lawler were being very simple in their explanation of things. I thought, you know, their commentary did put over Neville's skill, but it wasn't the Joey Styles kind of deal.
Right.
And that was just so, like, you don't realize how much noise there is until it's gone.
Right. Yeah, just that incessant chatter that they do.
And that's the bad thing to me about the three-man booth is
yeah, there's never a break.
No, somebody's always
Jim Ross was incredible at knowing the right times to say the right things, but he also knew when to shut up.
Yeah.
And just let the guys in the ring tell the story. He knew how to do that. Yeah. And it never felt like dead air when, and those guys just don't do it. They don't stop.
Yeah. And as I've been back watching some WWF 1996, you realize just how much of, especially Jerry Lawler, his lines are pre-planned.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and it's just ridiculous. But yeah, anyway.
Jim Ross used to talk about him having his Henny Youngman joke book, you know. Always had a one-liner.
But I thought, you know, Raw was great. I don't even remember that. I remember this, you know, six-man match. That was fine. No problem. I think Ryback is going to have a good year. I think he's way over. Dude, when he was it at the Battle Royal? When was it when he gave Big Show the I can't even remember. What's Ryback's finisher?
Shell shock.
When he gave Big Show the shell shock. That was awesome. Was that Monday that night?
Must have been. I don't remember that.
Oh, the crowd went nuts. The crowd.
Maybe it was on Raw, because I watched Raw on Hulu, but I was kind of tired. Maybe I looked away and missed that.
Yeah, that was one of the big pops. And Roman Reigns still didn't. He didn't get a great. And I think they got to the end and they're like, okay, who's the third man going to be? And I think everybody was hoping for something, and for Roman Reigns to come out was a little disappointing. Not because it was Roman Reigns, but it wasn't somebody being unveiled.
Right, right.
Yeah,
I kind of sense that too. I don't know why they keep putting Big Show. Talk about forcing people down your throat, Big Show and Kane.
Yeah.
Every week. Come on, man.
They wrestle on Raw and SmackDown just about every week now.
Yeah. And it's time for them to start taking that back seat, man.
I agree with you 100%.
But I think Ryback, I think you're right. I think he's a guy that they can keep simmering.
Yeah.
Like they're doing right now. You don't kill him on TV.
No.
But you don't make him look like a killer either, but he always looks strong. And when you need him, you can pull him up.
Yeah. But you know,
you can plug him into something.
Yeah, I think it'd be good. Overall, I mean, I gave the weekend. Monday night was the so I had actually changed my satellite package where I didn't have USA, and then I realized, oh my goodness, I'm going to miss the Raw after WrestleMania, so I added it back to my package I sat around Monday. You know, after I, you know, got some work done at the church and worked here, working on some Easter stuff, I sat around for like 3 hours waiting on Raw. And it was just like I was anticipating it. And as much
you were killing me on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. Because I knew you weren't watching it. And I was trying not to put spoilers.
I don't care. You can, yeah. When you would say, like, I can't believe what I'm about to see. And then that was it. And I was like, wait, what's going on?
I didn't believe that Brock and Seth were going to wrestle on Raw. Like,
I thought after I watched it.
Yeah, I knew that this is not going to happen right here.
I heard, because I do watch the Hulu, and I go back and watch. Usually what's not on Hulu, they put on the app. The matches will be on the app. But I didn't watch the Divas match. I hear that there was a lot of really vulgar chants going on. Is that true?
That is true. Now, I will say this. There was a lot of times Monday night that I couldn't understand the chants. And I didn't hear the chants clearly during the Divas match, but I got what they were saying.
Right.
And now, maybe this is – can I just say this? How refreshing it was to go through WrestleMania weekend and not hear one CM Punk chant.
You know, you're right. I don't recall.
There was one.
There was one somewhere, I remember. But it wasn't loud and it wasn't sustained.
Now, last week on Raw, AJ Lee was wrestling. I guess they were in a tag team match. And they started chanting CM Punk. And the crowd overtook that chant with the AJ Lee. They started chanting AJ Lee. And I thought that was really cool.
I like that. That's what needs to happen. He doesn't want to be there.
Right.
Said it. He doesn't want to be there. He doesn't care about it. He's not coming back.
No, ever.
He may at some point. Because how many guys, if they buried the hatchet with Ultimate Warrior and Bruno Sammartino, they'll bury it with anybody. But I just don't see him coming back no time soon.
He just has a completely different personality than those other guys.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to feed off of the, you know.
Like, CM Punk does not care whether or not you like him. I think I'm a kind of person, like, if you don't like me, it keeps me up at night. And I got to do something to at least try or understand why you don't like me. Whatever part of that DNA, CM Punk does not have that.
No, it is free, you know.
Yeah. So, all in all, I felt a great weekend. I was emotionally satisfied, physically exhausted. This WrestleMania greatly exceeded my expectations. Gave me some moments that I didn't think we were going to get. Gave me some matches that I didn't think were capable of being as good as they thought. What are your final thoughts?
I liked it. I thought it was a really good WrestleMania. I thought the Raw was pretty good. I mean, I don't think it's the greatest WrestleMania of all time, like I heard somebody else say. Or ask that question, was it the greatest of all time? No, I don't think it was. But it's one of the better WrestleManias I've seen.
I think, somebody on CBSSports.com ranked the WrestleManias. And I think they had this WrestleMania at like number 13 or 14. And I disagreed with that. And I felt from the article, this was somebody ranking the WrestleManias that hadn't really watched them, but had ranked them based on what, like he had the, we've talked about this. We're going to talk about this. We talk about 96, you know, the WrestleMania 96, I guess that's WrestleMania, is that 12? WrestleMania 12. And, you know, this Iron Man match that has been hyped into biblical proportions as to its greatness. And you take that match out of that card and outside of Roddy Piper, you know, beating the crap out of Goldust legit.
Right.
It was nothing, you know. And do I think this is the greatest WrestleMania ever? Probably not. But it's up there. Like I would put it in the top five.
In the article, do you remember what they said number one was?
I think they had WrestleMania 17, the one that everybody says.
The one that everybody kind of agrees is the best.
But see, and I'm not saying that wasn't a great WrestleMania, but it ended with Stone Cold siding with Mr. McMahon. So emotionally, I remember that WrestleMania. I remember watching that WrestleMania at a buddy's house, popping up off the couch, couldn't believe some of the things I was seeing, some great, great matches. But I just remember at the end of it, I'd had a sour taste in my mouth. And so that cost me something. But this WrestleMania, I didn't feel that way. So, again, I think you were correct in saying I look at things more with my heart than my head.
Yeah.
I think you got to – right. So, what do you think about WrestleMania 31? We would love to hear your thoughts on our Facebook group, The Wrestling You Grew Up With, where we want you to disagree with us. But if you disagree with us, come at us with logic, reason and facts, or we're going to run circles around you. Just the bottom line. That's how we do it.
That's how we roll.
Huh?
That's how we roll.
That is how we roll. You know, you can, if you want to come on our group and say you love John Cena, great. More power to you. Not going to call you, you're an idiot. If I ask you why you love John Cena and you say it's because of his technical expertise in the ring, the thread's going to get a little bit longer because we're going to have a discussion about that.
Right.
Talk to us on Twitter. You can use the hashtag SnotBubble or hashtag DDK Show. I'm at Heath Mulliken on Twitter, and Mark is
at the DDK Show.
You can listen to all our episodes at DoubleDropKick.com. Now, we are on TuneIn Radio. So if you got the TuneIn Radio app on your iPhone or Android device, you can listen to the Double Dropkick Show on that app, which just means we are one step closer to world domination.
That's right. I didn't realize that. That's cool, man.
Yeah, see, I like to surprise you every now and then. We're on about three more apps. We're trying to get our next. We're trying to get on iHeartRadio. Just trying to get out there. So, listen, I don't want anybody on the planet to have an excuse not to listen to our show. There's still, Mark, there's still like 7 or 8 states where we don't have any listeners, and I am ready, willing, and able to drive to those states and remedy that issue.
That's right. I'm not, but hey.
Oh, man. That's because I'm thinking too much with my heart. Go on DoubleDropKick.com. Below the show notes, you can leave a comment, join the discussion. You can go to our Facebook page, The Double Dropkick Show. There's a thumb there. Click on that thumb. Give us a big Jim Duggan ho and like our page. That would be awesome. We would love to get that those likes up. We're way over 1,000 members on our Facebook group now, the wrestling you grew up with. Just a great group. If you're listening to this, you're in that group, you know, keep up, you know, good discussion. And if a certain young man is listening and is ticked off that he got blocked, well, I got
I two. Don't care.
I don't care. So those are our thoughts on WrestleMania 31. You don't want to miss the next few weeks of the Double Dropkick Show, where you're going to hear our thoughts, where we review WWF in 1996. We did WCW. I can go ahead and guarantee you the WWF episode is going to be a lot better. Why? Because their shows were a lot better. And it's going to be a lot of fun. But as for always, for the Double Dropkick Show, I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.